Computer mouse that is not complying with the rules.
Oh no, okay, all right. Well, everybody's ready to go.
We are. This is the time and place set for argument in Blalock versus Idaho Transportation Department, docket number 48293. Here on behalf of the appellant is Arthur Beislein. Here on behalf of the respondent is Susan Cervic. Mr. Beislein, are you prepared to go forward?
Yes, Your Honor.
Go ahead, please.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court, I'm Arthur Beislein. I represent the appellant, Amy Blalock, and I'd like to start by thanking the court for allowing us to attend this by Zoom. It's a great savings to our client and a whole lot of time. The relevant facts of this case are that Ms. Blalock was traveling home from a concert sometime after midnight, and she was traveling 46 in the 35 zone. Because she, like me, up until I took this case, thought the speed limit was 45 in that zone. She went past a state trooper who observed her speeding, and then he initiated a traffic stop. As soon as he flipped on his overhead lights, she immediately pulled over. As soon as he approached the vehicle and explained why he had pulled her over, she clearly and coherently explained her mistake. They had exchanged a few more pleasantries, and then he went back to his vehicle. And then when he returned, the very first thing he does is ask her to exit the vehicle. And he explains to her it's because he wants to make sure she's okay to drive. It was at that point that the trooper took an investigatory detention for a traffic stop and turned it into an investigation of a DUI offense. And the law in Idaho is clear that that decision to conduct that investigation that had nothing to do with the initial stop is itself an independent detention that has to be supported by reasonable and articulable suspicion. So the only relevant facts are what the trooper had observed up to the point that he decided to convert this into a DUI investigation. And what he had seen at that point was somebody who was speeding, who explained clearly why she was speeding, and she, according to her, was only 1 mile an hour over the speed limit. So under her belief system, she was traveling, you know, just 1 mile an hour over. And then he didn't observe any other erratic driving of any kind. He observed her immediately pull over when he activated his lights. And he, when he approached the car, he observed her, you know, clearly explain why she was speeding. What he didn't observe at that point was the odor of alcohol on her. And that's kind of a key fact in this case, because without that, the grounds that the trooper alleged for having this reasonable and articulable suspicion just don't add up to reasonable and articulable suspicion. Bloodshot eyes do not give rise to reasonable suspicion. I'll leave out the articulable because it's easier to say. In Idaho, I think it's a court of appeals case that says that. And so that leaves us with the slurred speech. And on that issue, neither the agency nor the district court, and I don't know if the district court even could have, but the agency didn't make any finding of fact as to whether or not this testimony by the trooper was in fact supported by the evidence. If the trooper's grounds for pulling her over was that she was driving erratically, and then the hearing officer looked at the dash cam and she wasn't, well, then the hearing officer would say, that's what you said. It's not supported by the evidence. I don't find it to be credible. Well, that didn't happen here. And ordinarily, you know, that would require a remand to the agency to make that finding a fact. I don't think that it's necessary in this case, because if you look at the video, she's just not slurring her words. I mean, any determination that she was, in fact, that the trooper's testimony was supported by what was on this tape would be an abuse of discretion. Slurring your words could only be evidence of intoxication if the person was obviously intoxicated. They're slurring their words and they're acting inebriated, drunk, irrational, whatever you want to call it. Otherwise, and this case demonstrates it, because the slurring that the trooper alleges to have heard is very subtle, if it's there at all. I can't hear it. So for somebody to pick up such a subtle slur, they would have to know the person. And so One, he's just not, she's not slurring words, not the weak in the ear, but even if she was, it was very, very subtle. So if you combine bloodshot eyes, which isn't good enough, and you combine this alleged slurred speech, which is extremely subtle if it's there at all, those two things don't add up to a reasonable and articulable suspicion. I think if you had the odor of alcohol, then I think, you know, I think we'd be there. But without it, that I just don't think it adds up to it. Now, and it seems to me that both the district court and the agency got, they got hung up on everything the trooper observed during the entire interaction. When the inquiry ends right at the point that he says, I want to make sure you're okay to drive. That's anything that happens after that's not relevant to the inquiry as to whether or not he had a reasonable and articulable suspicion to develop all the evidence that he did doing the investigation. And just summing up, it seems pretty clear to me that, you know, nothing on that tape would lead any reasonable person to conclude that Ms. Blalock was intoxicated. I mean, she doesn't look intoxicated. She doesn't sound intoxicated. She didn't drive like she was intoxicated, and she didn't smell like alcohol. And if she had bloodshot eyes, well, you know, after midnight, and from the tape, she has apparently a young child at home. I can imagine she had bloodshot eyes. I know I would. But so I just don't think that there's reasonable suspicion. He didn't have reasonable suspicion to conduct this investigation. And unless there's any questions, I just reserve the balance of my time.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Beislein. Ms. Cervic, any response?
Yes, I can. May it please the court. The Idaho Department of Transportation requests that the court uphold the suspension and the decision of the hearing officer issued in this case. What is important, and I don't want to just repeat what Mr. Beislein just said, but on August 10th of 2019, after midnight on a Saturday night, the trooper observes Ms. Blalock speeding 11 miles over the speed limit. He stops her and he engages her in some conversation. And it's a bit hard to hear on the audio tape, but there is some conversation that goes back and forth between the two of them. And during that time, he observes two things that are very important. He observes that her speech is slurred and that her eyes are glassy. When you take those two factors, in addition to the very late at night, Saturday night, the trooper suspects and has a reasonable suspicion based on those factors that he might have to investigate further and asks her to get out of the car. And then from there, there is an investigative detention. She admits to drinking before she drove. He goes on and does additional investigation by field sobriety test. She fails two of the three, and it goes on to the BAC, which she then also fails. Before the hearing officer, and I think this is critical to the driver's argument in this case, is that before the hearing officer, Blalock had the burden of proof. It was up to Blalock to demonstrate to the hearing officer with that affirmative duty that there was no legal cause to stop her. What you'll see in some ALS hearings like this one is that the driver might call the trooper and cross-examine the trooper for additional evidence to support their argument. Or the driver might testify themselves, but that didn't happen in this case. There was simply oral argument before the hearing officer. At that point in time, the duty of the hearing officer is to weigh the evidence. The hearing officer is the fact finder in these types of hearings. And based on the evidence before him, because there was no affirmative evidence from the driver, the hearing officer found that the driver did not meet her burden of proof and found, and you can see this in part two of his legal decision where he lays out the facts that he finds, the law that applies, and the conclusion that he reaches. And the conclusion that he reaches based on these facts is that there was legal cause to stop Ms. Blalock. before the district court. Again, it seemed as if Blalock was asking the district court to weigh the evidence and to find that the hearing officer didn't weigh the evidence properly. Of course, this isn't the standard before the district court. The standard before the district court is that the findings that were made by the hearing officer binding on that court, even if there's conflicting evidence, so long as they're supported by substantial competent evidence in the record. And in summary, a judge made that finding that Blalock failed to prove by preponderance of the evidence that there wasn't legal cause to stop. And in fact, that the evidence, and there was no abuse of discretion, and there was no violation of the statutes, and upheld the decision of the hearing officer. So for those reasons, we respectfully request this court to uphold the decision of the hearing officer and of the district court, and uphold the 90-day license suspension. And that's all I have.
Thank you, Ms. Servick. Mr. Beislein, any reply?
excuse me, Your Honor. Yeah, just really briefly, because one thing that's stuck out to me is, I heard this case because we all know that an officer can ask of somebody to exit their vehicle during a traffic stop. And so my initial thought was, well, if you know the detention is not any longer than it would have been anyway, then what's the big deal? And I just want to point out that the same case that I've cited, the Lynn's case, that's the one that says you just can't piggyback the two together. And I think the district judge, you know, he touched on that, you know, that it was okay for him to ask and exit the vehicle. I just wanted to emphasize that, you know, just because he can ask her to exit the vehicle, that's not the focus. It's the focus of, did he have the reasonable suspicion to conduct this investigation? And that's all I'd have, Your Honor.
Thank you. Seeing no further questions by the panel, the court appreciates the briefing and argument in this case. The case is now fully submitted to the court, and the court will issue an opinion in due course. Court will be in recess until August 10th at 9 a.m.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you.
Honors.
Your Honors.